story.
I didn't have any conversation with Janice about the picking of songs, but it just goes so well with the message I'm about to share. So if you love to tell a story, if you love to be part of the family of God, I'm going to ask the band to just play that song or sing that song, maybe a verse or two, and I'm going to ask you to stand and shake hands with a bunch of people and sing it to them. I love to tell the story. Okay? Let's stand and do it. Tell the story. Thank you, band. If you looked at the bulletin, you probably said, what has kind of gone loose in Pastor Dave's mind when he's preaching on seedy people? Seedy people, what kind of a statement is that? Certainly not derogatory in any sense of the word. We do want to welcome those who would be listening to the message on the internet. We appreciate you joining us, and we trust that God will bless you as he blesses here. So I'm sure that many of you have realized by now that this is the growing season, gardening season, crop planting season, and soon it will be harvest if summer ever comes. It just seems so cold, doesn't it? Well, I want to start today with words from Jesus that came in a parable. It's found in Matthew, and it's frequently called the parable of the sower. Modern translations will probably call it the parable of the farmer. And it begins at chapter 13, verse 3. We read there, "Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. And as he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath and the birds came and ate them, and other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun because they didn't have deep roots and they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." Lord, as we search your word together today, may our ears be open to listening. And Lord, with the help of your Holy Spirit, may we hear and understand. Bless your word as we share it, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. If we were to read on in this chapter, just read a little bit further, we would see that Jesus eventually provides an explanation of the parable to his disciples, and there have been many Bible teachings have been developed, many lessons prepared on the material that can be found in this parable. But for the purposes of my message today, I only want you to consider a couple of points from this parable. First of all, the farmer was what I would call a generous seeder. He apparently didn't care very much about where the seed fell or the quality of the soil that it fell on. He was just out there throwing seed apparently everywhere he went. He scattered the seed generously. And so I chose to call the farmer or the sower from this parable a seedy person. And the second important point is that this parable is one of several portions of Scripture that each in their own way underline the principle that genuine believers, genuine disciples of Jesus, are called to be seeders, to be crop planters, to be plant nurturers, and fruit bearers. Let's consider for just a moment from John 15, verse 15 to 17. And here Jesus says, "Now you are my friends, and since I have told you everything the Father told me, you didn't choose me. I chose you." That's a different perspective, isn't it? "You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. And this is my command. Love one another." Last week we talked about appropriating the power and authority of Jesus by using his name when we pray, and we see that repeated in that text again today. So in this scripture we see Jesus deliberately choosing his disciples for a specific purpose, that of bearing fruit. Fruit that would remain, or as this translation puts it, bear lasting fruit. And when we think about it, if Jesus chose the first disciples with that purpose, we can safely conclude that he would also have chosen you and I, chosen each and every one of us who has claimed Jesus as Lord and Savior for that same purpose, to go and to produce fruit. So perhaps the most obvious question at this stage would be, what do the words of Jesus mean when he uses the word fruit? Let's think about it for a moment or two, about the various types of fruit that we read about from a biblical perspective. First, there are new plantings. This is one of the types of fruit, new plantings. We see that in the parable of the sower, planting seeds with the idea of producing new plants. And so in the biblical context, we are thinking in terms of finding new believers, finding new Christians, making new disciples. And I believe this was the kind of fruit that our opening parable was all about. In it, we have a picture of a seed being planted with the hope an expectation that new plants would emerge. I think it's safe to say there's not a farmer in the entire country of Canada that plants seeds without some expectation. Like, that would be rather silly, wouldn't it? Everybody expects when you plant seeds that some of them will grow. In my garden, there's some that meet my expectations, and there are a few that struggle year after year to do that, regardless of how hard I try. So why else would the farmer or the sower in the parable scattering seed? The natural expectation is that at least some of the seeds would sprout. There's a beginning. That the plants could be nurtured and they would grow, and eventually there would be fruit from the seeds planted. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus says to his disciples, and therefore he's really saying it to us as well, very famous quote, the Great Commission, "Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." So it's clear that we as believers are to be involved in the spiritual process of planting seeds expecting the seeds to grow and then nurturing them. When they emerge, helping them to grow into maturity. We call that term discipling. And we define that as a deliberate response to our Lord's call to grow the kingdom by planting seeds, nurturing plants, and being actively involved in making new disciples of Jesus. Planting seeds. It's interesting. We never know the seeds that we plant. My son-in-law was telling me about an interesting situation that's happening right now in our world. How many of you have heard about the recount that's going on in Newfoundland? The thing that flipped from... And conservatives never held that seat for forever. Anyway, Sean was telling me that when he and Robin were in youth ministry at Aaron, they had a young couple come from the Bible school to minister, as often they do, to youth works and so on and so forth. And they, Robin and Sean, have kept in touch with them all through the years. So there was a seed that was planted, and you know that it continues on. Anyway, it is their son who flipped the seat. Isn't that interesting? So here we have a 24-year-old young man, probably one of the youngest, if not the youngest, MP in Canada, that we have a connection through seed planting from years ago. And so I would suggest that our call to discipling is actually beyond just being involved in our personal devotions. As important as it is, serving in our church, I think that it really grows to a call for a personal commitment, a place of commitment, where we realize that an important part of being a believer, that's who we are, being a believer, an important part is a commitment to finding and making disciples. So the question obviously would be, well, how do we do that? What are some of the ways that we can do it? It's an important question. First of all, it's a matter of personal witness. Telling others about the Lord, what he accomplished at Calvary for everyone, and what he has done for each of us personally. And I know that this is a difficult challenge. Most of us are somewhat shy and introverted. And we also know that in many cases, talking about matters of faith, talking about religion and so on and so forth, are not very popular subjects in our culture. But remember, as we pointed out last week, that the Holy Spirit who lives within you as a believer, he has many helps for believers, one of which was outlined by Jesus in Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. And the Message paraphrase puts it this way. When they drag you into their meeting places or into police courts, and before judges, don't worry about defending yourselves, what you'll say or how you'll say it. The right words will be there. The Holy Spirit will give you the right words when the time comes. So seek and welcome the Holy Spirit into your life. Believe that he has been commissioned. Part of his role, part of his job is to help you with your conversations when you're chatting with others about your faith and when you're witnessing. Trust him to do so. Secondly, I would encourage you this morning to be a seedy person. Be like the sower in the parable. Scatter your seed of personal testimony liberally. Don't fret about how well it will be received. Don't fret about how unwelcoming the ground might be where you are seeding. Just do your job as a seeder and trust the Holy Spirit to do his job. And then pray for openings. I could be totally wrong here, I suspect that praying for openings to share our faith is not always on our daily prayer list. Maybe it's there, but close to the bottom. Maybe we should make it close to the top. Lord, lead me to someone today. Open some doors. Create some openings that I can share my faith and live the words of the story of the song. I love to tell the story. It's a challenge to put it there at the top of our prayer list. You know, God might answer that prayer. Maybe that's why we don't put it there. We're afraid that He will answer that prayer. We need to put it at the top of our prayer list. And thirdly, remember that you have a special and influential position as a parent, as a grandparent, as a sibling, an aunt or an uncle. You have an audience that is open to your story. Fourthly, consider being involved with programs such as the GrandPals, which quite possibly will open other opportunities as well. And opportunities that may not be available in any other way. I know that our people that are involved in the GrandPals program now are enjoying it, and it's been amazing some of the things that have happened and doors that have been opened. Fifthly, invite. Be an inviter. Last year we several times reminded you to be inviters, to invite other people. And there are people part of our congregation today who now come regularly because they were invited, and presumably and hopefully, and I believe that they did, they found this to be a friendly, welcoming church and a place where they could sense the presence of God. And I hope that you find that to be the case. Perhaps you may see it a little differently, and you could point out several areas where we could improve, and then help us to improve. Help us to work on those areas so that when we invite people, they will feel comfortable, and they would feel comfortable about inviting others. And now we get into the principle of multiplication. Our Lord's call to us as individual followers of Jesus to plant seeds and make disciples is an important one to each of us personally. And it's just as important collectively to us as a church. We desperately need to grow. We need to be seeders. We need to see new people coming to know the Lord. We need to grow in our younger demographic, otherwise we'll be destined for oblivion, like several churches we see around us. It's a serious business. Someone told me this morning there's a for sale sign on one of the churches downtown. Let us consider that the definition of fruit from a biblical perspective goes beyond just the individual sharing of our testimonies. Fruit is a much broader definition than just finding new disciples, as important as that is. Consider the challenge also of producing spiritual fruit. If our Lord chose us to be fruit bearers, then we should carefully consider what the Bible defines as fruit. And while we have looked at the personal sharing of testimony and discipling as one, there are others. In the Bible, the fruit of the Spirit, think about that phrase for just a moment, it comes from Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit refers to the 9 positive character traits produced in believers by the Holy Spirit's presence and work in transforming our lives. These qualities that are listed in Galatians 5, 22 and 23 are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'm going to read it from Galatians, actually. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. You see, this is a work of the Holy Spirit in transforming you and I. It's the Holy Spirit that is producing, in cooperation with us, joy, peace, love, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against these things. Now he says, this is what a believer looks like. Those who have chosen to belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of the sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. since we are living by the Spirit. He's making an assumption here now that the believers that he's writing to are in fact welcoming the Holy Spirit and being led and fed by the Holy Spirit, and therefore their lives are being progressively transformed, and these attributes, these characteristics, are coming forth in their lives. Are we following the Holy Spirit in every leading of our life? Great question. And so these qualities, these spiritual fruits, represent the nature of the transformed life and demonstrate to others around, they demonstrate to others around the changes that the Holy Spirit has worked in our lives as the Holy Spirit works in conjunction with the Word and in cooperation with ourselves. And gradually, our spirits change and we are transformed more into the likeness of Christ. So this is the evolution or the growing of fruit in our lives, spiritual fruit. Each one of us as believers, from the moment that we're born again by the Spirit of God, are called to a life of transformation. And as we are progressively transformed, these attributes will become stronger and stronger. And I look at these attributes and I define them by saying they're really ministry fruits. They're not only beneficial to us as individuals, they are benefit to us as characteristics and attributes that will minister to other people, that will influence other people in the area of life transformation as well. They can and they should be used lovingly to help and encourage each member of the body of Christ to continue on their own personal transformation journey. And as your transformation progresses, as it becomes stronger, the spiritual fruit that is being produced will have increased spiritual impact on your network of loved ones, neighbors, and friends. So I encourage you, be open to the transformation. Believe the Holy Spirit to do His work. And then use these attributes, the spiritual fruit that God is growing in your life, to bless others, to encourage others, to help others to grow in their own spiritual fruit, so they in turn can become influencers in the lives of those in their circle of friends and loved ones. Be a seedy person. Plant spiritual fruit generously. So a great question for us is, how does this call to fruit bearing rate in terms of importance to the Lord? I'm going to share with you a couple of scriptures that underline how important this is from a Lord's perspective. John 15:1-4. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. So there's really two options here. There are branches that are cut off because they're not producing fruit, and then there are branches that are trimmed because it's so important to the Lord that they produce the maximum amount that they're able to. He goes on to say, remain in me and I will remain in you, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you can't be fruitful unless you remain in me. So I think it becomes pretty obvious that the Lord considers fruit bearing by believers to be very important. Another parable is found in Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 6, and it makes the point even stronger. We read there, as he told this parable, a man had a fig tree planted in his garden, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I found none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And he answered him, sir, let alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. And then if it should bear fruit next year, well, good and bad, but if not, you can cut it down. So the message is very clear. Our call to be fruit bearers is very, very important. So I'll close this morning with this little story. A man named John Chapman was born on September the 26th, 1774 in Massachusetts. And when he was 18, he headed west with his brother Nathaniel. When he was in his 20s, John began apprenticing at an orchard, where his love of apples gave him motivation to spread seeds and plant fruit trees. John was a seedy person. He claimed seeds from the refuge of cider mills and began planting nurseries. The seedlings were transplanted to fields of unclaimed lands. And in those days, in certain parts of the country, if the orchard was successful, the land could then be claimed as one's own. Eventually, John owned over 1,200 acres of apple orchards. It's an amazing illustration of being a generous seed planter. John Chapman eventually became known as Johnny Appleseed, and the legend grew and grew about a seedy man who scattered seeds and nurtured plants everywhere. So our Lord challenges us to be seedy people too. That the seed of the gospel, the seed that came free to us, was bought with a great price on the old rugged cross. So pray for openings to plant seeds. Plant seed wherever we go. Plant generously, believing that some, perhaps many, will take root and become a new orchard of believers. Lord, as we study your word, it's tough at times. It challenges us in perhaps uncomfortable ways. But help us to remember how important it is that we plant seeds, that we grow and nurture new believers, that your cause and your kingdom might be extended. Forgive us where we've failed to do so, Lord. Help us to pray for openings. Help us to believe your Holy Spirit will equip us with the words that we need when the time comes. Help us to be seedy people. We ask this in your wonderful name. Amen.